Blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutyampi, Tatyampi, Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutyampi, Tatyampi, Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha nirodha, gamini patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering. Seat and just turn and face the wall for a moment. Would you turn and face this way, please? Does it feel like we need a light?
Yes.
What shall we look at this morning? Pasha.
Yesterday morning, when the video call with Africa,
uh-huh.
And it was amazing. I was just like there.
You were just there in Africa with the video call yesterday morning.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I never felt so close and that immediate connection.
Uh-huh.
And just kind of. Soaking in there for like an hour on the mm-hmm. call that brought tears to my eyes several times.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing the girl says that gets up at 05
mm-hmm.
to go to school.
Mm-hmm. So just being on that call for an hour and just, mm-hmm. you said soaking it in,
yeah.
and how it brought tears to your eyes, and one thing that moved you was the young woman who was in 12th grade talking about getting up every morning at, she said, 05.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just kind of puts all my first of all problems in perspective.
It puts your problems in perspective.
Yeah. It also kind of encourages my practice, which I would think is hard, but it's nothing hard.
Mm-hmm. Just encourages your practice and seeing that, you know, you get some messages that it's hard, and that seeing that in the light of that, it doesn't seem hard.
Yeah. And also to see such a progress that living compassion happier is is huge. You know, it's not only 1,000 children, it's also quality of life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just seeing not only are 1,000 children fed every day, but the quality of life has been changed for folks there, as demonstrated by these young women.
Yeah, as they sing the song, Come and See.
Come and See. Uh-huh. Yeah. And as you talk about it, I mean, in a way, you did come and see yesterday morning.
Yes. What a gift.
Uh-huh. What a gift.
It wasn't included in the description of our weekend retreat.
It was one of those unexpected gifts that you didn't see in the retreat description.
No.
Yeah.
And, I'm again amazed, you know, just 2 days, but it's such a big retreat. It comes in the middle of a busy life. And it's such a reset,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
It comes with so many unexpected gifts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Just having this chance to have a reset.
Yeah.
And receive the gifts.
Yes.
Just those unexpected gifts.
Yeah.
Which one might imagine are there constantly.
Yeah.
But having this period of reset and receiving those.
Mm-hmm. And also, it's a place where I don't go into kind of thinking, is it me or is it conditioned mind?
Mm-hmm.
It's clear here.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever I was going through in the middle of business, when it gets here, it becomes clear that was just conditioning.
So just conditioned mind becomes much more clearer in this time of introspection and just
and just the silence here.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing, mm-hmm. you know, just getting from this constant bars on the road through the highway, which is also
mm-hmm.
Very busy. Mm-hmm. And boom, gets here such a rare gift for human
mm-hmm.
to find. I mean, even I go in the park, there is constant zoom of cars
mm-hmm.
that I just notice here that I don't find there.
Yeah.
And it's such a such an important aspect of life to be able to feel that silence in the body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To feel the silence in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm very grateful and I have to say thank you for the borscht.
Another unexpected gift. Thank you for the borscht.
Again, I'm amazed how what a gift. It's a memory from far away country. It's a memory of my mom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Pasha. Scott.
Just an amen to the wonderful place to train at the monastery. What a wonderful place it is. And just any place that we can be still with life, which is any place, even with buzz
uh-huh.
of cars and that kind of thing.
Any place that we can access that stillness, even if there are cars and other...
Yeah. Reach through the
mm-hmm.
film, you know?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, and... one thing that really helps me that I've just been so enjoying is the relationship with creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it because I've been I've definitely been caught up in a little, you know, and, but there's something about the creatures and the constant contact with them that reminds, it really highlights what a bunch of hoo-ha that is, you know, and how wonderful life is.
Uh-huh. And wow. Yeah, kind of going back to what I was just talking about, being clear about conditioned mind, that relationship with the creatures.
Yeah.
Yeah, let you see that hoo-ha.
It's really amazing because we're at the end of a summer, which summer here is kind of like winter in the sense that it's really hot and dry and everything, all the plants and stuff essentially die. Mm-hmm. Like, or go into hibernation almost until the rains come in November, which is kind of opposite how I grew up, you know. Uh-huh. Like winter is when everything kind of goes into hibernation. And so this seems like, it could be seem like, well, there's just not as much around. There's not as much life around, but there is. Mm-hmm. And like a couple weeks ago, I was out in the dark around the pond and the moon was out. And I just happened to look in the pond in the moonlight, and there was this frog. And we get frogs, but they're usually like, can easily fit in the palm of your hand. This guy was like bigger than my whole hand. And he was just doing the backstroke, you know, doing the frog kick up back and forth across the pond in the moonlight. And I don't know, that was really fun. And then I love to watch how I've been conditioned to be afraid of life, of living creatures. So so I think maybe this is the only time I've seen a tarantula on property. I've seen it off property, but there's one on property right now, and he's living close to where I live. And he's just in this little hole, and we put these little logs around him to so we know where he is and that kind of thing. But every night I come home and I put my flashlight in there, and I've named him, hope he doesn't mind, it's Henry. And, hey Henry, how you doing? And he's always there. Yeah. You know, and it's almost like he senses something coming, he kind of peeks and then a light comes and you can see him shrink back. Mm-hmm. And there's just something about developing relationships with anything that helps you see that the life in me is the same life in that creature in the hole right there. Uh-huh. That's supposed to be scary and run away from and, oh my gosh, we've got to do something to it so it doesn't do something to me. Mm-hmm. And we're completely living in harmony. You would have no idea there's anything dangerous about this creature at all. Uh-huh. Yet you can also be in awareness that, everything has a defense mechanism. Uh-huh. It's just good to be aware of that.
Uh-huh. Wow. So just really receiving the gift of a relationship with critters. That, like you said, maybe there's been some conditioning to be in here. Mm-hmm. This just like seems so applicable on many levels. But mm-hmm. you know, to just have the opportunity in the silence of the monastery to come in contact with critters that normally would just maybe withdraw or and to just actually have an firsthand experience of life animating them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just to project the friendliness of life. Mm-hmm. So another thing that's never happened here before, but a bat was, I had bats in my hermitage a couple of times, and like waking up to them flying around, and just watching with a fear going on inside. Yeah. And then coming to a place of, they don't want to be in there. Yeah. You know, like something happened, I don't even know how, but they got in there and they just need to be let out. Mm-hmm. But from an ego place, it's like, oh my gosh, you're doing something to me, you're trying to get me, you're doing, or something's going to happen to me. Uh-huh. And it's like, actually, this creature could probably use some assistance just to open the door, and then maybe to kind of look and see where are they kind of sliding in so that doesn't happen to them anymore. Wow. And it's just that step out of everything is on me and against me, or doing something to me, and I've got to protect me. Mm-hmm. And it just felt like, life offering, then opening the door and then finding out, well, where is this occurring so they don't, uh-huh. It just felt like care and kindness, not a me and them.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, just moving into that place of oneness, just not taking it personally, that a bat entered the hermitage, but really being able to step back and see, how can I assist in this situation?
Yeah,
and as you say, touching into the care, the kindness, which I project has been growing for the human.
Yeah, exactly. And it's in that stillness, even if we're sitting on a cushion or just allowing, you know, there's these little insects right now, they have, they're like tiny bodies and these huge wings. They look like they have almost like a biplane when they fly. And, you know, just the stillness to let it land on your hand, I think for my entire life, it was just like swiping it away. As soon as there's no, there was no looking at it. It was just something's on my hand, get it off. And to just stop for a minute.
Yeah.
And just see the beauty of these little, you know, and I think that's what happens on the cushion.
Yeah.
To just stop for a moment and just see the beauty of what we are.
Yeah.
That we don't need to run away or shoo or attack or we can.
Wow.
It's friendly. We can just be here.
Yeah, wow. Just to sit in stillness on the cushion and allow things to light up, alight, and not, you know, be in that place of brushing away.
Yeah.
But as you describe, it just sounds like a beautiful example of acceptance.
Yeah.
And just presence.
Yeah.
Just to see, wow.
Yeah. It just reminds me, too, that, you know, when we open up, everything is our teacher.
And when we open up, everything is our teacher. Mm-hmm. Even those little biplane insects and bats and frogs and, you know, all of it. Mm-hmm. It's very cool.
Very cool.
Yeah. Thank you. Jodine.
I also want to say thank you for these weekend retreats, and this one in particular. I was here a month ago, and it was very different experience. The heat.
Oh, so you're appreciating the change in climate.
And also, I know, you know, even a small number of people being here, you know, is a lot of work for the people who live here. And so thank you for that. And actually, one of the things that I really love about these little short weekends is that maybe not that many people show up. So I was sitting in the courtyard and there was nobody. There was nobody else there. You know?
Yeah. So just appreciating being able to sit, since we seem to be on silence, but in the silence of just being in the courtyard alone.
Yeah. And yesterday evening I saw two deer. They looked to be, there was like a pile of wood that had been cut. And one of the boughs, or quite a few of them, were still green. And they were eating those leaves. But I had this feeling like, you know, they didn't look like juicy, lush leaves. You know, they were the small oak leaves. And so that, I definitely had that feeling of like, you know, life is there, and it's, you know, it's coming up against stuff. Kind of like I do. And just not wanting to like scare them away from their find, you know, like I was going to walk down there, but then I just kind of, you know, walked another way.
So just seeing the deer and realizing that maybe it's not such an easy time for them. They're you know, going for those little leaves that were on a downed branch. And just bringing the, what we were speaking about earlier, just the kindness and the caring to choose another path, to take a walk and let them have their find. Yeah.
That didn't occur to me. It was that was just what arose.
Arose to do.
It was an impulse of kindness. So I wanted to bring up this process that I saw while I was here. I do it everywhere, and I know that like at times we don't like to focus on conditioning or what conditioning is saying or doing. But somehow it seems like it would be good to kind of just shine some light on it. And also it told me you don't need to bring this up in group. So the process is around like disappointments, or perhaps even like hardships. So if I come up against something that's disappointing, I realize that I'm talked to about it, oh, another disappointment. Mm-hmm. Okay, because it will do the past trip mm-hmm. into all these other things that were disappointing, mm-hmm. and then it basically is like the life. So I've had like all these disappointments according to the story, and then the life I have now is like this consolation life. Like a consolation prize.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. So it's a consolation prize. There were all these previous disappointments, and so things didn't quite work out. So you have this other life. That's what you hear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's possibly just like the flavor of dissatisfaction for
mm-hmm,
me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because it will like, it's like the contest is over. The game show, you went to the game show, okay. There was a contest, mm-hmm. you didn't win the big prize, mm-hmm. You got the consolation prize.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, and you're just kind of stuck with that, like, mm-hmm. forever.
Okay.
So anyway, I think it's good to just shed some light on that because somebody falls into it and believes
uh-huh.
it.
Uh-huh. So someone falls into that belief that this is a consolation prize. Your life is.
Yes.
So what's your direct experience?
So, great question. So it was talking about like coming to the monastery in the same light
mm-hmm.
yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have anything really going on in your life, so you can go up to the monastery for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
kind of that consolation prize.
Yeah.
Attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Like yeah. This is what people do who mm-hmm. only have a consolation life.
Right.
You know? And I was just I forget exactly where I was when this whole thing was going on. Maybe I was walking up the road to watch the sunset or something mm-hmm. yesterday, and I remembered. All the people who were here when I came for the visiting monk month. It was like 6 years ago. It wasn't called the visiting monk then. and this amazing, extraordinary month that we all shared. And for whatever reason, I had this idea to see if that class would want to make a special thing for the monastery of a new bench up in
uh-huh,
the
uh-huh.
orchard.
Uh-huh.
Is there was somebody called that bench, Inspiration Bench.
Inspiration Bench, up on the hill, yes.
Like early in the retreat, and so it was kind of like this thing for the time, and then it just like dropped in, like there's all these people who are connected because they've been here practicing, and they're out in the world, and it's our sangha,
mm-hmm.
and it's this incredible family,
mm-hmm.
and like a spiritual family, and I'm part of that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Just part of this amazing sangha, and having that all come back to you as you're walking up the hill in the sunset. Yeah, just the yes.
Yeah, and how conditioning just would like to just put that in a little box and say, well, that's maybe a little consolation for you when you need it. You know, like
how it just wants to drop it into the category of a consolation prize. When?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Without examining it. And one could just take that, oh yeah, but you describe a whole different experience of beauty.
Yeah. Yeah. And the last thing, as I had recorded something about this, and the mentor had said, you know, what an interesting thing to bring up in group.
Uh-huh.
And as I was coming up here, conditioning was scrambling and saying, you know, all those things that you wanted and you didn't get in your young life, all those disappointments, you know, those were pretty much like conditioned wants anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so really, like, it was arguing against itself.
Uh-huh.
You know, so like if you had gotten those things, you'd be one of the most frazzled. You know, your life would just be impossible. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't work, you know. And so, in this crazy way, I was like, okay, so my life now is not like a consolation life. It's way better than it would have been if that had come true.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was just like deafening silence.
So you caught it at its game of playing both sides.
Yeah.
And just said, yeah. So I hear you saying that, you know, it's a good thing things didn't turn out the way conditioning had planned or, yeah.
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 So I guess that, here's the actual final thing I'll say about this. I think what it wants me to do is to attach my well-being to how things go.
Yeah. It wants you to attach your well-being to how things go.
Yeah.
It seems like as you talk this morning, according to its interpretation.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Good, bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And as you said, in your scene, it's all based on dissatisfaction.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And yet you're seeing there's another experience.
Well, there is my direct experience.
Mm-hmm.
And never looks like, you know, what was advertised.
Right.
And then there's also that thing of, you know, is my well-being actually dependent on things kind of turning out my way? And that huge realization, like, no, it's not.
Yeah, yeah. Having that experience, that seeing that things, the well-being is not based upon it, things turning out like I think they should.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huge.
That's a huge insight to see that. Yeah. That all of that dissatisfaction is not based in anything real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Jeremy. Rebecca.
Well, that brings up something that I've looked at. And there's one of the Transform Your Life quotes that I keep waiting for it to come around for the Project Joy, and I finally looked it up. It's not until December 24th. So it's like, I'm just, you know, but I'm ready for it. But it's one of my favorite quotes of all time, and it is by an actress, Colette, I think is the name, and it's, I've had a wonderful life. I only wish I'd realized it sooner.
Yeah.
And to me, that speaks of that whole consolation prize.
Exactly, exactly.
And I think that one of the most malevolent things that conditioning does is that the blood sucking nature of the absolute perfection of one breath, of one seeing one bird, or one, you know, one moment at a time that strung together makes up this wonderful life, and how it just sort of robs and
Boy, it really, it's just what we've heard from so many people this morning. I mean, the beauty of a life that comes in ways that are such surprising gifts that we didn't plan, we couldn't plan. And how we get robbed of so much of that by being in a conversation. And those things are just happening and we're like not there to receive it.
Exactly. Yeah. And it is so, so it has sort of been a, you know, starch in the spine, you know, motivator for me. Just, I'm cutting that off. You know, I just don't want to get played like that.
I don't want to get played like that.
It's just, and getting really clear of the nastiness of the whole racket, whole scheme, is really helpful. Because if you know, in a way, there can be a willingness to be a part of it if I don't see how utterly, you know, horrible it is, you know. But when you got, there seems to be a line that I cross periodically, and I love it when I cross that line that I am not putting up with this. It's starting to piss me off now, you know, and that's a really good place to be. And then, you know, I'll sort of get lulled back into this, and then I get that back again, and I'm currently in that, you know. I'm cutting off the, you know.
Just in your saying, I refuse to be played by it anymore. I mean, just that statement is, you know, this is not a benign thing. You know, this is something that's, as you said earlier, just taking away my one precious life. I mean, there's not going to be another, as far as, you know, who knows. But, you know, to just, like, I don't, that's it.
And, you know, the other, I think it was Friday, maybe, but she said it before, where Sherry talks about when we're in the conversation, we really are not alive.
Really not alive.
We're not, we're not alive.
Yeah.
And that's always been a bit of a koan for me.
Yeah.
And I just this weekend I was recording, and what the mentor said was, I think it was last night actually, when we were making that letter of appreciation, the assignment from the retreat, which was that it's that this, there's only one combination that all of us bring to the world of experience and insight and humor and beauty and in, you know, all of these things that just make up this person. This person, this manifestation, and that they're each and every one essential, not just nice to have in the world, but absolutely essential to the world. And when we're not here being that unique combination of everything that we are, it really does, it is as if there's that little black hole that is now no longer being the light in the world. And in a way, that was sort of a really helpful way for me to answer that koan of why we don't want to be in that conversation. Because it's not even, it's sort of that you'll do for the love of others that you wouldn't if you're, because it was sort of like, well, I don't feel like I'm not here, so if it's only I'm okay with it. But when the mentor put it in the context of no, the world is robbed of this one unique expression. That's what's at stake. For some reason, that worked for me. Okay.
Yeah, as you say, I'm doing for the love of others what you wouldn't do for
me.
You know, to really see, wow, you know, if I am in a conversation, if I'm not alive, the world is robbed of this unique expression of life that is never going to happen again.
Yeah.
And as you described it, like there, you know, there's this like a light going out in, you know, some little corner.
Yes.
And the world gets robbed of that illumination.
Yes. And whether it's a little bullfrog swimming in the pond, mm-hmm. or a little, mm-hmm. you know, a cat, mm-hmm. or a dog, or a mm-hmm. bird, or a red blade of grass,
right.
or a human being.
Yeah.
It's all that essential.
So essential.
Part of this world.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, it was just a beautiful realization of, and a path to a deep appreciation,
mm-hmm.
you know, of that. I know I have a wonderful life, and I'm not going to wait and realize mm-hmm. it too late. Mm-hmm. I'm going to realize it now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Just all going back to, you know, that starch in the spine.
Yeah.
This is it. It's a wonderful life. I'm going to have it. Gosh darn.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I'm not going to get robbed from it. And it is the way of giving back to the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Penny.
This is a fun conversation. So what I was enjoying just now is that I love the paradoxes of Zen, you know?
Yeah.
Because what's being pointed to is this life, the stakes are way higher than just, am I getting a good life?
Wow.
But
yeah.
But I can only get glimpses of the stakes being higher when the eye drops away.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
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 One of those Zen paradoxes.
One of those Zen paradoxes. So, and I was also thinking, as I was listening to that term, consolation prize, I found myself getting really angry. You know, who came up with that? That is so nasty.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, what it really is, it feels like what was just being referred to was, the reason to have commitment to those high stakes is that so I don't see my life as a consolation prize to life. You know,
uh-huh.
for the best I can do.
Uh-huh.
For the best
uh-huh.
we can do.
Wow.
But
yeah.
but it's much bigger than that.
Yeah.
And the whole notion of that sort of consolation prize, that sort of this
yeah.
is the best we can do.
Yeah.
It's so evil.
It is evil. You know, to just say, okay, well, like, it's kind of a slap in the face to if life had a face. You know. That, you know, well, okay, you gave me a consolation, but
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it happens, so my favorite example that I've mentioned this several times is one time when I was walking up the hill up the road, and I was walking this gorgeous late evening, you know, that sort of golden light, and there were horses grazing in the pasture,
mm-hmm.
and still a blue sky and clouds, and what came up was, gosh, I wish I lived in a place that was this beautiful. You know, if I hadn't been there to catch it,
really,
I would have felt that, oh gosh.
And that's so enlightening, isn't it? It doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't live in a place that's this beautiful.
That's right.
Yeah.
But if I had listened to that, I wouldn't think so. I did either.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing I find happens a lot.
Yeah.
I wish I. And
yeah.
then if I. And what I found is if I stop right there.
Yeah.
What I found is I'm having that experience I'm wishing for.
Exactly.
And it's turning it into a wish.
It's turning it into a wish, and it's just the most evil thing of all is that. You know, we go to that place of believing it's us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is our experience.
That's our experience.
Yeah. And I was also enjoying the references to the wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
Like a couple of years ago, because of the heat, I took an old litter box and I put it out outside our kitchen window. There's a little triangle of trees and stuff. And I put it out there and I put water in it. And the deer.
Yeah.
And the birds, and
mm-hmm.
the squirrels,
mm-hmm.
and one night a skunk, just empty that thing every day.
Wow.
And it is so much fun. And then I come up, I wake up in the morning, and it's empty, and I have to have a hose out there from a rain barrel, and I go fill it up again, you know. And we've got deers and babies, and
mm-hmm.
and it's, and so washing dishes has become a great experience. I have this show going on, but it's so interesting that such a small move can make such a difference. I remember Sherry talking about when this property was first moved onto, there wasn't any wildlife,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and that the monastery has created an ecosystem
yeah.
that just draws wildlife.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't done that, but we put out a bowl of water.
A bowl of water.
And it just draws that
Amazing.
Life to it.
It just seems like what we're going back to what we first spoke about, you know, it's just looking at it from such a different place.
It is.
Like, what can I bring to this? What can I, you know?
Yeah. What can I contribute?
What can I contribute? And one would think some water in an old litter box. I mean, how simple is that? And just to see the repercussions of that so many critters. And not only do they get the joy of the water, but as I hear you talk about it, the joy, and then the joy for all of us in the room to just experience that gift. Yeah.
Periodically, one of us who's in the living room and sees that says, the deer and doe are, or the deer and the fawns are back in. Oh, there they are. And the other thing, the last thing I wanted to say was in terms of a different relationship with critters.
Uh-huh.
So the other day I was cleaning a part of the garage and there was a scorpion. And I did the bug bus thing, you know, and took it way down the road. And then I was late for a meeting the next morning, and I'm rushing out of the house. And right at the edge of the garage was a scorpion, and I was late. And I didn't want it in the garage. And I have to tell you, there was a temptation to just stomp on it. And I went back in and got the bug bus. And I thought, I wouldn't have done that a few years ago, you know.
Yeah.
But it's not only the practice, but it's that experience of living with critters.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And at the moment, we're living with more critters in the house than we choose to. But we have to tell them about them, too. But anyway, I mean, it was just like, that's a living thing.
Yeah.
It has its role. Wow. It doesn't have its role in my garage.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna move it out.
Wow.
Or the tomato worm out on the tomato plant that was chomping away. I took it down the path, and I thought, I don't want to just dump it. And there was a datura down there.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also a nightshade. And I thought, this is the best I can do. Whether it lived, I don't know. But, you know, I don't want to know the tomatoes, I don't want to kill it, but I do want to remove it. And so working those sort of accommodations with the world that we live in, which contains all of us.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I think that's such a good point that you made. It's, you know, we have this incredible practice that, you know, brings us to this place of care and compassionate awareness for all of life, and there's the living with things that, you know, I can tell you from experience out there in the conditioned world, people are fighting so hard to keep all unwanted living things away from their experience. And yet in that living with things that we come to this, you know, just an appreciation and an awareness. Oh my gosh, we're sharing a planet, you know, and that I can make a way for you, and you know, and and I can do it in a kind way.
We'll do the best we can.
We can do the best we can, exactly,
Thank you.
Anna?
I'm getting the gift of getting to realize the life I have in a big transition. Getting to be awake to it.
Be awake to the life you have. I mean, as I probably can all relate to that, transitions are those wake-up calls if we're there.
Right.
Yeah.
And really that feeling of seeing everything as if for the first time, like opening the door to the meditation hall and walking in for Sunday morning group, for the first time and sitting down. And then everything just being so surprising, like, you know, we're reciting the daily recollection, and then the bell rang, and then silence. All right, so we're going to sit in silence now for 90 minutes. And the silence was just so, it was a surprise. It was new or...
Yeah. I mean, would you say that it's just like, there is a kind of a taking it for granted when we think that, oh, it's just going to be here tomorrow.
Yes.
And then in that being in that place of transition where you realize it is not going to be here tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, wow.
Yeah. And we do have some really good silence going on here.
We do.
Like cultivated. Like the garden thing. And the Project Joy quote just dropped in when you said, we don't know that it's going to be here tomorrow. Something about, you know, life is a gift on loan.
Life is a gift
on loan. Right, so how are we going to be with it?
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing how much like that veil of knowing is so, just so deadening. And I've been, over the last few days, guided by the guide 3 times to this approach of, you know, a voice makes a prediction and, oh, I don't know, yeah, maybe, maybe so, I don't know, we'll have to see. I love it. So I've been practicing with it and it's been just like rocking my world. And I hadn't realized how much of that predicting I was listening to and identifying with, like layers of it. And what I really love is that there's been like a, like even practicing it and taking on the guidance is cutting through the I know, right? Because there's the I know of, well, guidance is going to be like really like, I don't know, some sort of monumental go forth and just to hear this attitude, this approach modeled of, yeah, I don't know, maybe yeah, I don't know. And so there was the guide modeled that once in group, and then in our guidance appointment twice, like did it once and then said, no, really, I mean, this is an approach. And what I got to hear as I listened back was how much I know I was in, right? So yeah, I know that the approach to I know is, oh, I don't know. And I know. Yes. And so I kept on talking. Yes. And she said, obviously, I mean, I project, saw that it being just enveloped, pushed into I know, and no, really, I mean, this is as an approach. And so I listened back and heard that wonderful little workshop, and there was the disidentification from that, and then was just practicing it for the last 24 hours, and it's been just fabulous.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Just fabulous.
Yeah.
I mean, to go to that place of, oh, really? I don't know. Really? You know? And oh my God. And just as you describe that, and I probably we can all relate to it. I can certainly relate to it. You know, just that place of how many levels of I know.
Oh.
You know.
I don't even, that was the thing. I know how many I know. And I've got, you know, I've worked through this much of it, and I've worked through a lot of it.
And I know guidance, and I know, I know this is what it's supposed to do. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I just love it. And it's been doing, I caught a really important, well, I don't know. I'm noticing the difference between insight and conclusion, right? Uh-huh. I just notice how much I get into this place of conclusion, I know, with awareness. Yeah, so I know that this is what's going on. And so I had that awareness. But the one thing that it was doing yesterday was, So there's these sensations, and it played this scene of, when you come back, this is how you're going to feel, right? Mm-hmm. These sensations mean you're going to be, so I'm going out for a temporary retreat, mm-hmm. and so when you come back, you're going to feel all like awkward and outsider-ish, and you're probably going to have forgotten mm-hmm. how to do cleanups, and you'll just be standing there, and everybody will be like, belonging, you'll be there, and everybody will be like, what's she doing? You know, like that. So you don't want that, so it was like, oh, whoa, that prediction, that level of,
really,
that, oh, I don't know, yeah, maybe it'll be like, I don't know, mm-hmm. Just to catch,
exactly,
you know,
exactly,
yeah.
Wow, to really catch mm-hmm. that life-snatching conversation that is so easy to just like, go with,
yes,
and you know, to just nip it, and to just be like, oh, I don't know, and we don't. Just don't. How fun!
Yeah. So I'm just left in thank you. I'm just keep going around saying thank you to everything. I did a thank you letter on the recorder last night to my hermitage. Mm-hmm. Oh, we've had some good times in here. Oh, the things we've been through together. And just yeah, just thank you to everything.
Yeah, I mean, that just assumes that that goes back to what we were saying earlier about everything being on loan.
Yeah, you know? Right.
Yeah, from our hermitage to our body to
exactly.
Our, all of it, you know, and to just stop and do a thank you. Yeah. And I mean, I can see for myself, I probably wouldn't stop and do a thank you to my hermitage because I have this, you know, assumption that I'll be there tomorrow for
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and it'll be there tomorrow
and
for me.
And it'll be there tomorrow for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
So to just stop and say thank you.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. many gifts on loan and mm-hmm. just, yeah, just mm-hmm. thank you.
Thank you. Susan.
You know, the thing that occurred to me is, as the last person was talking, was that it's so nice to come back without self-hate. Because for me, the first time I came to the monastery and lived, there was so much self-hate mm-hmm. to get through, and mm-hmm. then I learned everything, you know. Mm-hmm. And now, every time I come back, I don't know where things go in the kitchen. But now I'm more at ease with, well, I'll stand here and I'll, somebody's going to come. they're going to come and whisper, hand me a note, or grab, you know, not grab it for me. And I'll follow them to where it is. Okay, it goes there. But you know, in the beginning, it was. There was just so, I mean, I always say my first job was like, Watcoing windowsills mm-hmm. outside. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I was in hell. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's clear. Mm-hmm. You know, you're putting clear substance on a windowsill. It was my first job. And then my last job before I left at the end of the year was Watcoing these strips. You know, they didn't know. It's God did it. You know, you go through the year practicing and then it was these strips. And I was in freedom. When I'm not going that, you know, same activity, totally different experience. Because of, I don't know why, you know, because of practice.
Because
now, as we practice more, it's not that we're not the same. I can't even explain it, except that there's just a little more presence and sweetness and kindness. And I was thinking about the life forms, and I certainly know that. Anyway, I have a new puppy, and I was, you know, they're like babies. They smell good, and they're soft. And so I was hugging that new puppy and breathing, you know, and kissing it and, you know, just feeling the love or whatever. And then, you know, those other dogs. So I was watching, just now we had these dogs on the property. And I watched the compassion shift, you know, that there was kind of a, like mosquitoes. Now, this is annoying. You know, who are they? And, you know, just how ego would, and they're not well trained. And then, well, your dogs aren't that well trained either. the next thing is just to see if we can get them off the property.
Yeah.
You know, that there was, that it would be, it was, it's so much simpler just to go to that.
Uh-huh.
Then, which I would say progress, so that's sort of in the same way that now when I walk co or go into the kitchen, mm-hmm. I just, okay, mm-hmm. well, what's available? Okay, I know how to wash dishes. I'll grab that job or whatever. But kind of the same with this, that there was a, I have a car, I can drive, and I can call dogs, mm-hmm. even though I don't know them, mm-hmm. and see if they'll follow. Mm-hmm. And, this is going the whole time, well, but you want to meditate, and, you know, that's what you're supposed to be doing. And then I got back up here, and I got to sit outside, and I mean, if you sit outside, when there's no mosquitoes, so to speak, the birds are singing, and it's cool, and you're looking at the beautiful tile that I actually helped put in, you know, and that... everything is in order. Uh-huh. You know, it's that whole thing of, I mean, I could totally relate to the consolation rides. I just see how ego, well, you know, if you would, you know, anyway. So it's just helpful to come back to this. I don't know how someone said it earlier, but you know how I always say it, this is it.
This is
and
it.
Don't miss it. You know, don't miss it by believing you're not supposed to get these wild, annoying dogs out, or you're not to just sit with the mosquito when it's drawing your blood. You know, that that this is it. And, yeah. and there's something really, you know, that if I look close enough, I will actually, often it seems like I have the same experience I have with the puppy.
Uh-huh.
But something yeah. is keeping me mm-hmm. from looking that mm-hmm. closely mm-hmm. when it's two mm-hmm. dogs mm-hmm. that I don't know that are dirty.
It seems to me what you're describing with all of these scenarios is that it's not the content. You know, you're just recognizing the effects of practice and paying attention and just seeing, you know, the different choices in various pieces of content that have presented themselves.
And the thing, too, as you were talking, is there's something pretty cool about beginner's mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm coming down to meditate. I know what that looks like.
Yeah.
I'm going to take my shoes off. I'm going to go bring something. You know, yeah. I have it all.
Uh-huh.
You can go to sleep, even when you're
yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
So similar to what was described, but now every time I come back to the monastery, it's beginner's mind.
Yeah. Boy.
And now I can do it with every time I come back. Because, hey, what's
going to...
But I forget to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Boy, that's the life snatcher, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's that coming down the hill, knowing what's going to happen next,
yeah.
what it's going to look like and what's going to happen, and then, you know...
Just go to sleep.
Go to sleep. And then, you know, life presents other options.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I'm somewhat present for them,
mm-hmm.
quicker, mm-hmm. they can be... kind of delightful options. I don't need two wild dogs. And what do I do next? Well, I'll jump in my car. You know, but then it can be sort of fun.
Yeah, yeah, it can be sort of fun. It's like working hand in hand with life. You know,
yeah.
like wow. What is it that I'm called to do right here, and how can I participate?
That's the difference.
Yeah.
Not I should, you know, the first walk going, well, I should know how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I doing it wrong? You know, just
mm-hmm.
all that stuff that I was used to listening to.
Exactly.
The problem is the listening to.
Yeah. Yeah, when we hear that, am I doing it right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listening to all those stories. So.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think he's We have 2 minutes if someone has. Oh, Rebecca.
Do we want to tackle one more little critter story?
One, yes.
Okay, so yesterday there were a deer and a fawn that were munching out there in the barrels. I know. I was the only one around. I was just about to walk into guidance, and they both looked up at me like...
Deer that caught.
I know. And they were eating our flowers.
Yeah.
And they were gonna, you know, that moment where they are like, are you gonna scare me away? You know, or not? And so I said, I'm not gonna, and I said this out loud to them. I said, I'm not gonna chase you, but don't eat those flowers. Don't eat our flowers. You can have anything else, but just don't eat our flowers. Of course, they had already eaten the flowers. But it was like this really kind of interesting, sweet moment of mm-hmm. what? You have kind of a negotiation with
uh-huh.
wildlife,
uh-huh.
you know?
Uh-huh.
So, anyway, and they, one year they ate, they came right up to the corner and ate the, what is that one that we're trying to grow right up?
The clematis.
The clematis. Oh, and it was the only bloom that we, it's like we had nurtured it in the sand while we were in meditation,
yeah.
and I happened to be guiding so I could, like, see it.
Uh-huh.
And you just know, well, that's a moment of acceptance.
Mm-hmm. It's a tough time, and as Joadine was saying, we know when it's getting rough for them.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so I offer that as a way of, if you don't see any beautiful
mm-hmm.
flowers out there when you're sitting under the umbrella, you can at least know that there are some well-fed deer
mm-hmm.
because of that.
It's their last choice, but when there's no other choices.
Yeah. Oh, they don't like it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, we can feel good that, it was just a sweet little moment of that closeness with the wildlife.
The closeness of the wildlife,
yeah.
and just, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thank you all.